You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is lit. With those magic three words, welcome into a joyful post-game episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, and boy, after 5 days off to rest, did the Rockets ever take out their energy on the San Antonio Spurs in game one of the second round. Not only did the Rockets go in and take home court in this best of seven series, gain a 1-0 advantage, they annihilated the Spurs. They were up by 30 by the half. This was an absolute beatdown in every facet. So many positive things that the Rockets did. But folks, I'm going to start it with this. It shouldn't end with game one. You have game two on Wednesday night. You played this well in game one. You're going to hear a lot of narratives about how, well, the Rockets, they did what they came to do. They took one of two in San Antonio. No, that's bull. If you only take one road win in the series and you're a team like the Rockets, all it takes is San Antonio, a team that won 61 games in the regular season, winning one game in Houston, to flip it back. And all of a sudden, you're looking at 2-2 going back to San Antonio with a best of three series, 2-2 in San Antonio to close out the series. So no, you don't want to be happy with one win. As good as it was for the Rockets, there's an opportunity to come back in game two and get a hammerlock. Not just a one game, but a two-game lead as far as home court is concerned, heading back to Houston. So yeah, you play this well. The Rockets aren't happy. It's great they did what they did, but if you want to be positive, the Rockets were able to beat them down and barely played anyone in the fourth quarter. James Harden played just 31 minutes. Pat Beverly, 24. Ariza, 31. Clint Capella, 25. No one had to go past 35 minutes. That's how dominant the Rockets were. You were able to even get Sam Dekker and Montrezl Harrell into the game. Dekker potentially knocking off some of the rust, even hit a three after missing a month with a broken hand. So yeah, as good as this was, and it was incredibly sweet, the Rockets are not done here. They want to come back Wednesday in game two, and well, at some point this series, they probably do need to win another game in San Antonio. So why not Wednesday? You're playing this well. You've got this kind of momentum and continuity. Try and take it Wednesday too. And so I think the Rockets are in a really good spot. If there's something you can say from this game above all else, it's that the Rockets respond extremely well to rest. Just as we saw in game one of the Oklahoma City series, when they had 4 days off, really more than that, when you consider they hadn't played a meaningful game the last couple of weeks of the year, the Rockets had a lot of time off. They came out one by 30-plus. They came out with that same style of energy again against the Spurs in the Western Conference Finals. Out-rebounded them, outshot them, did all the little things they need to do. Incredibly efficient. And the Rockets for game two, because no one had to really overextend themselves in the game that you won by 30-plus, all of a sudden they're in a really great spot, not just from the sake of, well, taking home court advantage, and now certainly the Rockets should be favored in this series. In one game, you have flipped it to where the Rockets now. I definitely think it's better 50-50 shot that they win the series. But you're in a position to build on it Wednesday night in game two, but also the remainder of the series. Now, as far as game one, what went right? The easy answer, everything. The Rockets made more shots from three. They were over 40%. That's, well, in great contrast to what happened in the Oklahoma City series when they shot 28%. For the series, they were well-rested. They made their shots. Ryan Anderson, I thought, set a big tone in the first quarter when he started off 2-of-4, ended up making 4 threes on the game. But really, those 2 threes early, I thought, were big tone setters. Same for Trevor Ariza, who ended up with 5 threes. I thought one of the more meaningful stats that I saw early in the game, Ryan Anderson and Trevor Ariza had just 6 threes in the entire first round combined. They had 9 tonight. That's how big they were. And Ryan Anderson, by the way, was a team best plus 38. This game was so lopsided that Kyle Wiltshire and Bobby Brown got legitimate minutes in a playoff game. So the Rockets, everyone's rested. That's the key thing. Spin it forward, because it's not just about winning one game and making a statement. It's about winning 4 of 7. The Rockets, when they're rested, clearly do good things. And well, if you want another silver lining, Nene only played 16 minutes because he was ejected on just an absolutely silly altercation between not even really involving Nene. I'd say it mostly involved Dwayne Dedman and James Harden got a little chippy at the end of the third quarter. I wouldn't so much blame Nene. I actually thought he was trying to break up the altercation, put his hand on Nene's shoulder. Somehow it was spun to Nene putting his hand on his throat, and he was ejected. But it is what it is. The Rockets were up by 29 at the point, and there was just a pathetic moment, by the way, when Nene was going out, when a San Antonio fan was talking trash to him. Buddy, you're down by 29 points entering the fourth quarter. I think you just look like a complete idiot if you're doing that at that point in time. But as far as Nene, well, maybe it's a blessing in disguise. He only played 16 minutes. We all know what Nene can do when he's fresh, when he's rested, and the Rockets had to avoided any potential overextending him in this matchup. And I saw some people on Twitter saying, well, will he be suspended? Don't be paranoid. The only way that that could even, and I don't think it'd be suspension, even if he wasn't ejected, that was a complete misinterpretation of what was going on there. Dedman was the one that was out of control, and to further prove that, Dedman ended up getting ejected himself later in the game. Nene was actually trying to defuse the situation, but if the NBA is going to issue a suspension, it does that when there is not an ejection. To suspend Nene on top of an ejection, that would essentially be two games worth of discipline. Use your head, folks. What Nene did, even if you construe it in the most negative light possible, there is no way that that is two games worth of discipline. So it's kind of a blessing in disguise if you want to look at it from a standpoint of paranoia and, well, are they going to look to make a point to Nene? Well, even if they want to make the point to Nene, he was ejected. That's the point. To suspend him would be two games worth of discipline. There is zero chance of that, in my opinion. Don't lose any sleep over that whatsoever. Just be content that, well, the Rockets got a big win and Nene got out of the game without having to really extend himself that far. Now, that's part of the reason he didn't have to extend himself, just 16 minutes. The other part, and I'm going to get to the storylines in the first half now. I know I've put it off long enough, but everybody knows the Rockets played really well, so I'm going to lead this podcast talking about what it means going forward. But as far as the first half, boy, of course they made their shots over 40%, almost 50% in the first half from the field, but Clint Capela for the game, 20-13. He was enormous. 8 of 10 from the field. Also had two blocks. Plus 29. Absolutely was an elite rim protector. LaMarcus Aldridge had just 4 points. 2 of 7 shooting. Neither he, David Lee, Pau Gasol, no one got going inside. Clint Capela was just far more athletic, and that was every bit as big of a deal as the threes. You're going to hear a lot of national narratives after this of, well, the Rockets just made their threes. What happens if they go cold, or what happens when Kawhi goes nuts? Kawhi was pretty good tonight, but he certainly wasn't MVP level, anything crazy like that. Thought Trevor Ariza's defense was actually pretty damn good. The first few minutes, Kawhi was hot, but after that, Trevor was tremendous. But yes, people are going to make an argument, okay, what happens when the Spurs make some threes, they weren't that hot tonight, and the Rockets have a game shooting like with an Oklahoma City series. Okay, even if all of that happened tonight, the Rockets still win because they dominated the interior led by Clint Capela. The difference between him athletically, physically, it looked night and day. We said all that on paper going into the series. This was a much friendlier matchup that a lot of the problems he had against Oklahoma City, that Steven Adams, you have to tip your cap to him. Adams was a particular matchup nightmare because of his brand of athleticism and physicality, and the Spurs did not have anyone with near that possession of traits in terms of their athleticism. Well, certainly Clint Capela, he knew that on paper, he had to go take advantage, and he did. 20-13-2, 8 of 10. He was a beast. He feasted. And that's the big thing for the Rockets, is that even if they don't shoot that well from three, even if the Spurs make a few more, they were that dominant in every facet of the game, including the interior, that you have to feel really good about them in the series moving forward. That's the thing. There were so many things that went right. Yeah, the Rockets made their threes, but this wasn't like a crazy game. It wasn't like they shot 60% from behind the arc or something insane. They were in the 40s, which is, you know, a little high, but not nuts. Generally, the reason the Rockets won by so many points is because they dominated the Spurs in every phase. Capela was a beast on the inside. They made their shots on the perimeter, including Ryan Anderson and Trevor Ariza, the two guys that struggled a lot in the first round. And then when you look at the perimeter, the Spurs absolutely could not compete with the Rockets off the dribble. Harden had 20 points, 14 assists, just 3 turnovers. He was much more efficient. I thought he was much springier. Any concerns you had with the ankle with James, they were gone. The 5 days of rest seemed to do him really well. Again, 20 points, 14 assists, just 3 turnovers. He was able to probe at will. It was just a matter of him making 3, so he did make 3 of them. He was also able to get to the rim, and that was a constant theme for the Rockets when you look up and down the bench. Eric Gordon, Lou Williams, they had double-digit scoring games. Again, Lou Williams was a plus 20 or so, just as he was for so many games in the Oklahoma City series. He was a difference maker. But the common theme with all of those guys, James, Eric, and Lou, the Spurs were not able to keep the Rockets from getting to the rim when they wanted to. There was an enormous difference. There was so much disrespect thrown in Oklahoma City over the past week. Well, they're predictable, and the Rockets defensively were only so good because they got Russell Westbrook ran out of steam. We know all the excuses. They're predictable, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, Oklahoma City, there are things you can say about them negatively, but they are also a tremendous defensive team. They are a tremendous rebounding team. And the way the Rockets adapted to them, the way the Rockets found a way to get it done in the fourth quarter, despite the tremendous length of guys like Steven Adams, like Andre Robertson, those are better than the athletes on a team like San Antonio. Now, the Thunder are not as good as the Spurs overall, but while the Rockets gave up something going to the Spurs, clearly the Spurs are a more efficient offensive team than the Thunder were. At the same time, the Thunder are not chopped liver. They have a lot of things going for them, particularly defensively, and it felt like in this game that the Rockets, essentially the shackles were off, and that's what struck me most. For Clint Capella, he was able to dominate the rim. The perimeter guys, all of them, James Harden, Eric Gordon, Lou Williams, they all looked significantly more efficient. Everybody was 45% or better from the field. Everyone looked much more comfortable attacking the rim. I know the Spurs are going to make some adjustments. They always will. Greg Popovich, one of the better coaches in NBA history. But folks, some of it isn't adjustment. Some of it is just personnel. And the Spurs, defensively, there are only so many things they can do. And that's why you feel so good as a Rockets fan. It wasn't just one area. It wasn't like the Rockets were just unconscious from three, even though that's going to be the storyline nationally, I think, based on the first half. The Rockets won from three. They won off the dribble, and they won in the paint based on the strength of the Clint Capella inside. They won in every facet of the game. And is that going to continue throughout the series? Probably not, because, you know, this stuff varies. The Spurs won 61 games for a reason. I understand that. And, you know, if you're cold from three, all of a sudden, if you get rattled, the crowd in San Antonio gets going in game two, maybe that takes an effort, takes a toll on the effort in other areas as well. This stuff is interconnected, especially on the road. There can be a little bit of getting rattled. We saw that in the Oklahoma City series briefly in game four. So I'm not going to sit here and say the Rockets should sweep the series or win with ease, anything like that. What I am going to say is, on the balance of a seven-game series, when you see the advantages that the Houston Rockets had tonight, it is tough to see the Spurs having a path to win four of the next six, especially with three of the next six being in Houston. So that's why you should feel good. And also, about game two, you look at playing this well in that building, and now no one for the Rockets really overextending themselves, no one being that taxed physically, mentally, however you want to look at it. Why not take game two as well? The odds are, if this is a long series and it's a really good team, you're going to have to win two games if you're the team without home court advantage, which the Rockets are going to do in the series. Why not take game two? So no, don't buy anything that you hear from the National League about, well, the Rockets went and stole home court. They're satisfied. No, they're not. I think they want to go in there in game two and, you know, take a commanding lead in the series, and they have every opportunity to do it. And playing that well, there's no reason they can't. So folks, that's where I'll leave it off. As good as it was tonight, balanced attack all the way around. Harden 20-14, Capella 20-13, Ariza team high 23 points, 5-10 from three. Garbage time minutes for Bobby Brown and Kyle Wiltshire, which is just human victory cigars, you might as well call them. So many positive things for the Rockets, but folks, they're all translatable, I would say. All of that stuff can be spun forward. There's nothing you look at in this box score and say, well, that's just crazy. That's never going to happen again. No, the Rockets had athletic advantages. They exploited them. I thought they were well coached. Hell, the one thing I haven't given a credit to, Mike D'Antoni. Of course he had, of course D'Antoni and Bezdelic had the Rockets prepared from a schematic standpoint. You won by 30 points in the first half. Obviously, you did a good job of coaching and preparing the team. But beyond that, the second half, I thought this was really telling. Early in the second half, the Spurs cut the lead to 28. The Rockets had just 4 points in the first 4 minutes, so you can tell they were kind of coasting. They were happy. They were a little lax in terms of their effort. They were taking too many threes, not really attacking the rim, and Mike was fed up. They were up 28 points, and Mike was fed up. That's the standard, and that's what great teams do. Great teams aren't playing the opponent. They're playing themselves. They want every minute they are out there to be the best team they can be, and sometimes when they're that good, you're going to beat the other team, even a really good team by San Antonio on the road, by 30-plus. The standard is you. Mike was not pleased with the effort. You could see the animation in his face. He called timeout, and the Rockets immediately responded with a 7-0 run to go up by 35, the biggest lead of the game. That is telling. That shows you the Rockets, they're not just happy to get a win. They are playing themselves. They are playing to be the best team they can be. It's not about just winning a game. They are doing what great teams do, which is trying to lock in for all 48 minutes in these meaningful games. And that, as much as any secrets in the game, was most telling, because even with a 28-point lead, the Rockets responded like you would want a championship contender to do. And folks, when you see a Rockets team win by 30-plus in San Antonio in Game 1 in the playoffs, at some point, yeah, you've got to think of this group as a championship contender. They're certainly favorites in this series now, with a 1-0 lead, just needing three of the next six, and now having three games at home. They're a favorite in this series, and from there, the only team better than you is the Warriors, and, well, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. And by the way, one of the better stats I've even thrown out yet, the Rockets had 30 assists as a team. Again, it wasn't just the athletic advantages. It wasn't just making plays one-on-one or doing things on the interior with the strength and athleticism of Clint Capella against the Spurs bigs. They moved the ball well. They were extremely well coached. The Rockets came into this game extremely well prepared. And, well, that's the kind of thing that should translate very favorably over the final six games, too. So once again, extremely happy final from, I wanted to say Toyota Center, because when you win that big, it feels like it's a home game, but AT&T Center in San Antonio, Rockets 126, Spurs 99. Wanted to call it a 30-point win. Excuse me, I think I did a couple of times during the podcast, but well, when you lead by 30-plus points for most of the fourth quarter, excuse me for getting carried away. Regardless, it was a blowout win for the Rockets, and it's one that leaves you feeling very positive about their chances in this best-of-seven series. So anyway, look forward to talking with you guys throughout the rest of the week about the rest of this series, the adjustments, because certainly the Spurs are going to make them. It's not going to be easy, as great as it looks tonight. The Spurs won 61 games for a reason. They're not going to go quietly into the night. Greg Popovich, one of the better coaches in NBA history. They're going to do some things differently in Game 2. And whatever they do, the result, positive or negative, of course, I'll be here to talk with you about it on Twitter. Follow me at Ben Dubose if you're not already doing so. And, of course, the show at Locked On Rockets. And, well, we'll have post-game episodes for you throughout this entire series. Next up, Wednesday's Game 2. So if you're not following us already, again, Locked On Rockets is the Twitter handle. And you can follow us, so many of our outlets, iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher, Google Play, tune in, pretty much wherever you can subscribe to podcasts, to media, just search for Locked On Rockets. You can find any of our daily episodes. We're the only daily podcast covering the Houston Rockets, and I appreciate you guys so much for listening to me and giving me a platform to enjoy this ride with you, because it's not just about, it's not just about the team. It's about all of us. It's about the journey. And folks, I've been around Houston long enough to know, by the way, I'll sneak in a reference to the Astros. The Astros also took care of business against the hated Rangers tonight, too. This is a really special time in Houston sports, and as great as it is for the team, it's a really fun time for us as well, for you as fans, for me personally. This is a really fun time. I'm so thankful to all of you for giving me a platform, not just here in the podcast, but on Twitter. Love interacting with you guys, and so anything I can do to make this a better show for you, the fan, don't hesitate to reach out, because as much as it's about the Rockets, it's also about us as a Houston sports community too. This is fun, and so I want to be there for you guys if I can, because you guys on Twitter are certainly there for me. This is a really fun ride to be a part of, and again, I appreciate all of you guys so much, not just for tuning in, but listening on Twitter, all that kind of stuff. This was just a really, really fun night all the way around. And by the way, in terms of contact, obviously you can reach out to me on Twitter, but also lockedonrockets@gmail.com. That's our email address. So any questions, suggestions, advertising inquiries, anything you want to throw out here about the Rockets, the podcast, anything we can do for you, don't hesitate to let me know. Anyway, with that said, I'll leave it there. Rockets 126, Spurs 99. By the way, it's the third time in six playoff games. 50% of the time, the Rockets have held the opponent to below 100 points. So for a team led by Mike D'Antoni, it always gets talked about for being high-octane offense, blah, blah, blah. They sure have buckled down on defense, too. So give them credit. It's a true team effort in every sense of the word. Obviously, they shot well offensively. They dominated the interior. But also, Trevor Ariza, Pat Beverly, they buckled down defensively, too. There's really not a guy on that roster that you don't feel good about tonight on both ends of the floor. That was that good of a performance. And again, three out of six postseason games now, opponent below 100 points. And that's facing off against Russell Westbrook and Kawhi Leonard, the guys who are likely to be first and third in the MVP balloting. So Houston, you should be very proud of your Rockets. And on that note, enjoy your night. I'll be back with you on Wednesday for Game 2.